One more time. Big shout. Learn about God. Learn about ourselves. Get ready for the Saviour. That's what's happening in the Old Testament. And it's very exciting. It's a fantastic story of real things happening, teaching us about God, teaching us about ourselves, who we are, what we are, and getting us ready for the Saviour. Who's the Saviour? Jesus is the Saviour. And we get ready for the Saviour in the Old Testament. So by the time Jesus comes along, there's so much excitement, there's so much interest, there's so much knowledge about God that they're ready to receive the Saviour. Now, loads of people didn't because their hearts were hard, but they should have been because there was loads of stuff about God, there was loads of stuff about us, and there was loads of stuff to get us ready for the Saviour. We've learned already that in the Old Testament we learn about God, that He's the Creator, that He's the owner, that He's holy, that He is loving and forgiving, and He is always good. We learned about ourselves, that we are made by God, like God, for God. But we've lost our way, and we need a way back. We need a Saviour. And today, the great thing we're going to learn is that God always keeps His promises. Sorry, I missed one out. I jumped the notes there. Last time, we thought in the Old Testament about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, and we thought about how they reflect something of the character of God, but they also teach us how we should be utterly devoted to God. And that is for us, but we're so thankful that Jesus was utterly devoted to God. He fulfilled, He kept all of those commandments perfectly for us, so He could be a Saviour. So the Ten Commandments themselves teach us about God, they teach us about ourselves and what we should do, but they also get us ready for the Saviour Jesus, the one who would perfectly keep them. But today, thinking about the promises. So, here's a question. There's the answer. Here's a question. What is a promise? Somebody want to tell me what is a promise? Anybody a bit further back here, a child, want to tell me what a promise is? Have a go, anybody? Do you want to go? Any ideas? What is a promise?
Don't break it. When you make it, you don't break it.
When you make it, you don't break it. That's a brilliant thing to remember. A promise is something that you make and you don't want to break. Anyone else want to try and give some words to what a promise is? Anybody over here, sorry?
A commitment.
It's a commit. Good word. Whoa. I'm not sure I've got that word up. Anybody else want to say it in a different way? Yeah? Oh, yeah, sorry, I missed you at the beginning, didn't I?
It's a thing.
It is a thing. That's helpful. It's a thing. What kind of a thing?
Like, so you're saying you're going to do something and then you can't say you're not going to do it.
Perfect, yeah. Perfect description. Wonderful. Do you want to say anything? Yeah?
It's when you say something and then you promise it and you have to say it, you can't break it.
You have to say you can't break it. You make it, you can't break it. Should have had that one. You should have been with me in preparation for that one. That would have been cool. A promise is a commitment. Did you say commitment or was it something else? Yes. A commitment by someone to do something. That's what a promise is. A promise is a commitment by someone to do something, or it could be to not do something. You use words and you say something like this. I will do this thing. I will do this. I promise I will do this. And God's promises are special. Sometimes, though, things might go wrong with promises. Sometimes your mum and dad, they might promise that they're going to take you to the cinema, or they might promise that they're going to take you to McDonald's. Is it still fun going to McDonald's? Yeah. Yeah, cool. Okay, so they promise to take you to McDonald's. What might happen? They really want to take you to McDonald's. What might happen? Either trying to get there or on the way to there, what might happen?
They might break the promise and not let us go.
Yeah, but what might happen to, even if they really, really, really want to keep it, what might happen?
The petrol might run out.
Yeah, the petrol might run out. They might break down in some way. What else might happen? Any other ideas of what might go wrong? Was there some children somewhere? Oh, sorry. Haven't got eyes in the side corner of my face. You did the last one, yeah? What might happen? Something might go wrong.
If you're driving, you could be in a car crash.
Yeah, oh, you could be in a car crash. It could be quite serious.
They forget.
Well, it could be they forget. That's a good one. That's a good thing to think about. Just one more, perhaps, Jaden. What might happen? Do you think they might get there and something might be wrong with McDonald's?
Do you think it's flooded.
It's flooded. Yeah, that's a good thought. Oh, just because you're really stretching, I'll give you one go.
They forget.
They forget is another one, yeah. Well, this really, really is the last one.
They might take you to KFC.
They might take you to... Okay, best answer of the morning. Cool. My amazing 85-year-old mother, I think she's 85, something like that. She's old anyway. And she promised us fish and chips. She was coming back to visit us on a Thursday evening. She often comes around on a Thursday. And she said, we might have fish and chips. We had quite a busy day and fish and chips are quite nice, aren't they? Nice treat. And she said she'd buy them. And she got to the one in Queen's Road. I think it's the best fish and chip shop in the town, isn't it, Queen's Road? And Washington Road's pretty good. And I'll talk about Washington Road in a minute. But it was closed. She got there and it was closed. She promised fish and chips. And she didn't bring them. Well, actually, she did bring them because she's so resourceful that she went to the one in Washington Road and brought them. And they were beautiful. But we sometimes can't always keep promises because things go wrong. We're not all-powerful and all-knowing. So sometimes our promises go wrong because of that. Sometimes something else happens. Now, this is my favourite kind of chocolate. White chocolate is a Milky Bar. So it's a big thing for me to promise this, but for anybody who is an elder, who was at our elders' retreat, who can come up the front and tell me where we held our elders' retreat on Sunday morning, any of the elders, the first one to come here and touch the stage, I promise that I will give them this Milky Bar.
For my children. It's all right.
But you know what?
Come on.
I've changed my mind. I mean, he doesn't really deserve it, does he? And it was a really easy question. So I've changed my mind. Sorry, if you could sit down. That was fair enough. I can change my mind, can't I? Oh dear. That is why I didn't do it for children, because I thought there might be a riot. Caroline advised me not to do it for children, just in case there was either tears or something, tantrums. And I know Mark is not going to have tears or tantrums. But you know what? That does happen, doesn't it? We promise something and we change our minds. We think yes, and then we think, nah. And what is amazing about God is that he's not like us, that he doesn't lie. That's what I read a little bit earlier on, just before we prayed. God is not a human being. He's not like us in that he lies. He never says and not does. He never speaks and then not acts. He always, always keeps his promises. We can't keep them because we don't have all power. We don't always keep them because we change our minds, but God always keeps his promises. That's the first thing that we learn this morning. We're going to sing again now, reminding ourselves of God's promises from the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun. I will stand on every promise of your word. We're talking to God, we're affirming together, we're saying together that we trust in God's promises, and the song works through them and encourage us to keep trusting God's promises. Be seated. So, what does the Old Testament tell us about? God. What else? Us. And what does it get us ready for? The Saviour. Teaches us about God. Teaches us about ourselves. Gets us ready for the Saviour. And particularly this morning, we're thinking about promises. There are so many promises. If you count all the prophecies as well, those parts of the Old Testament that were saying this will happen in the future. There are hundreds of promises that God makes about the coming of the Saviour, about what he will do. He also makes lots of promises in the Old Testament that he keeps in the Old Testament. He promises that he will rescue his people from slavery in Egypt. He promises that he will put them in the land and all sorts of things like that. And we're going to think about one of those promises in a minute. But he promises also other things. Sometimes he promises that he will judge them. And then later he promises that he will bring them back from exile when they were dispersed away from him. So there's lots of promises we could look at. We could spend weeks and weeks and months thinking about it. We're just going to think about two places where God promises in the Bible, and particularly in the Old Testament. First of all, God promises blessing for the world. Blessing for the world. It's up there in front of us. Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3 say this. God is speaking to Abraham. Abraham, as he's called at the time. Abram, as he's called at the time. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God comes to speak with Abraham, and he uses these amazing words of promise. First of all, he promises them land. Now, if I could get someone to be Abraham, perhaps someone who answered the KFC question would be really cool. Or perhaps his brother might be better. All right, we'll let you come. Jolly. So you can be Abraham. So you were promised the land. You weren't quite in it yet, actually. So here's the land here. But you're made a promise that there will be land. And let's think that the blanket at the moment is the land. I'm standing in the land, I'm trespassing, so perhaps I'll get out of the land for a minute. But also, as well as land, he was promised descendants. So I'll grab the clicker, wherever that went. Somewhere up here. There we go. I think I've got it on there. There we go. He was promised land, but also children. And that started with one who wants to pretend to be the first son. Who wants to be a son? You can come and be a son. So plus one, if you want to come and stand with him. Anyone know what his son through the promise was called? Pardon? There's Abraham and begins with an I.
Isaac.
Brilliant. Wonderful. So there's one son. And then to that one son, there was going to be actually two sons who were called what? Do you know Jaden? J and an E. Jacob, do you want to come up? Could you begin with a J? So we'll let you come up. So we can have a Jacob. And just for completeness, you can come up and be an Esau. So we've got two there. And then from Jacob here, do you know how many sons you had? Was it 2 or 10 or 12?
12.
Good answer. So we're going to have 12 people come up to be descendants. Yeah, anyone can come up for a while. Yeah, all of those, you've got your hands up. There's not more than 12 yet. So anyone who's got a hand up at the moment can come forward. And we'll see if we can count. We'll have to stop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Am I counting right? We need two more.
Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
11's coming. We need one more. One more. Anyone right at the back who wants to be a one more? Do you want to be a one more? That's wonderful. Now, some of you are ladies, but that's fine. You're all pretending to be 12 sons of Jacob. You know, you produced 12 sons. That's an amazing feat. Good job. And then, from those 12 sons, loads more people. Now, if any of the children want to join in, any other children want to join in, be part of this great promise of God? Well, let's go with the 12 for now. Now, what God also promised was blessing. So, here we go. I'll put them down somewhere. So he promised them land, descendants, and blessing. And eventually, let's just make it simple. They all ended up in the land. So let's get over here. Yay. In the land. You're in the land. Yeah. And when you're in the land, just as you are doing, there is blessing. So who wants to hold a smiley face?
Yeah,
that's not
me.
You can hold a smiley face. Jaden is the leader of this great nation. You can hold a smiley face. Let's have one at this end as well. Oh, I think I've got one more smiley face. No, Abraham is the ultimate leader. I understand the point. But the nation gets kind of named after
Jacob.
I was going to call him Jaden. Well, that is his name, but I had a moment of confusion. So, land, you're standing on it, you're living in it, it's great fun. A nation, loads of people, and blessing. You've got lots of smiley faces. Are you happy? God has blessed you. And that was a promise that God made and a promise that God kept. There will be many descendants from Abraham. I'm really rubbish with props, aren't I? There are many descendants from Abraham and they were going to live in the land that God promised. But sadly, they couldn't all stay in the land. Some of them had to go away. So if you guys could just go back to your seats. No, I'm afraid, Oakley, you were right of my hand. I'm really sorry. But they didn't love God or keep God's commands. You may have done, but they didn't. So a lot of them had to leave the land. And even those who stayed in the land were rather sad because God had to punish them. And they weren't the great people that they were before. That's all I'm going to give out for now. Otherwise, I'm going to get in a muddle. So they had times of happiness, but they were also quite sad because they weren't this amazing nation that was taking over the world. And it wasn't clear how they were going to be a blessing to the whole world. You see, what God said was more than just they would be happy. He said that through this nation, that's all a bit beaten up, the whole world was going to be blessed. And so the promise that God made to Abraham was only fulfilled a little bit in the nation. And it was only truly, fully fulfilled in Jesus, who was going to be a blessing to the whole world. You see, what happened in the end is that Jesus came into this family, the people of Israel. He came into this family and he invited lots of people from the whole world. So do you know what we have to do, guys? If you're going to help me, if you can get either end. If you can get either end of the tarpaulin and just help me make it a little bit bigger. So you have to step off it. So we're going to just turn this bit over. I'm really sorry it's blue, by the way. It's very confusing, like it's the sea, isn't it? But there we are. So I'm going to make it a bit bigger. And then if you want to invite anyone who wants to come and join us on the tarpaulin, and know God's blessing. So all the children who were sent away, you can come back. And any other children who want to join us, going to come back. Because through Jesus, there was going to be blessing. Don't throw that around, please. There's going to be blessing for the whole world through Jesus Christ. And he was going to fulfill, he was going to keep the big promise to Abraham. Do you guys get it?
Yes.
That is brilliant, isn't it? And do you know what? Even though we're not all standing on the blue bit here, the promise comes true in the church. All of these guys here who are trusting in Jesus are part of the blessing that God promised to Abraham. Isn't that a cool thing? I think so. If you can give me your bits of paper so you don't flap them around, if you could just take a seat for a minute, that'd be really helpful. Thank you. Do you want to keep it? I don't mind if you want to keep it. Okay, so that's the first big point. God promises Abraham blessing for the whole world. A nation and lots of other things. Maybe I'll get that out of the way, or it might cause a bit of a trouble or a health and safety hazard or something. Thank you. Very kind. I don't know how it got over there. God promises Abraham those things. I need my little iPad. Remember what I'm going to say next. The question, of course, that it leaves us with is, are you part of this great promise of blessing? You see, God was talking to Abraham, but he was talking to you as well. And he was saying, through a descendant of Abraham, I'm going to bless the world. But it's only for those who trust the promise who can receive the blessing. And let's just narrow it down a little bit more. God promises there will be a king who rules forever. God promises there will be a king who rules forever. Let me read a few words from 2 Samuel chapter 7. They're words that were given to King David, and they're on the screen as well. Verse 11 through to 13. No, that's not right. Halfway through verse 11, it says this: "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son." Now, David descended, he was a great-great-great-great-great-grandchild of Abraham. So he's part of this blessing to the world that was promised to Abraham. But he was quite a special person. He was a very good king in lots of ways. He'd been a pretty good king. Near the end of his life, God comes to him and he says, "I'm going to make you a very special promise. You're not going to be a blessing to the whole world, but one of your descendants will be. And in fact, one of your descendants will have a kingdom, a group of people that he rules over, a kingdom that will last forever, a kingdom that will last forever." So here's a throne. Walden Park graciously provided us with a throne. So someone who hasn't done something, do you want to come up and be King David, sitting on the throne? Someone who hasn't volunteered for anything yet? No, someone who hasn't volunteered yet? Maybe Joshua, who has. Have you been up? Well, he was up with the lamb, but he wasn't up with the. He wasn't up on his own yet. Have you? Oh, sorry. Well, there'll be lots of other opportunities. So, here's King David sitting on his throne. And the way the words are written here, it's to do with having someone sitting on a throne. What sort of person sits on a throne?
A king.
A king. He's a king. And he gets this amazing promise of God. The thing is, though, David dies. So if you could fall asleep, that would be cool. So he's now off the throne. If you could just go back. And if someone else could volunteer to be... Who was David's son? Anybody know?
Joseph.
No, it wasn't. Do you know Noah?
Oh.
Pardon? No, that was his good friend, though, Jonathan. Yes?
Solomon.
Solomon, you've got to come and be him now. You could be Solomon. You know, Solomon was very wise in lots of ways. He was also very rich, so who wouldn't want to be Solomon? So here comes King Solomon, and you think, well, maybe King Solomon will be the one who fulfills this promise. He might have a kingdom that never ends. You're often the king, aren't you, of the nativity things?
Yeah.
You obviously have a kingly way about you. So here's King Solomon. We're thinking, is he the one? Is he going to have a kingdom that rules forever? There's a promise from God. Is Solomon going to be the one? He certainly has a great kingdom, don't you?
Yeah.
You have a massive kingdom, probably the biggest Israel ever becomes, and you have lots of possessions. But do you know what happens to you?
I die.
You do. Yeah. Do you want to do that quietly? Okay. You're off. You're off the stage. You're dead.
If you're dead, you
now it gets a bit harder now. Anyone know the son of Solomon? I think there was a pointing up here that someone... Anybody want to be the next one, which is Rehoboam? Do you want to be Rehoboam? Do you want to come and be Rehoboam? That'd be good. Rehoboam's the son of Solomon. And actually, to be fair, you might look at him and think, I wonder if this fulfills the promise, but he was a bit of a mixed-up king, so you probably wouldn't have thought he was. But maybe, just maybe, God's going to fulfill his promise through Rehoboam. But do you know what happens to Rehoboam?
He dies.
So he's ruling, and actually he mucks up the kingdom and splits it into two. But he is ruling in Judah, but he dies, which is rather sad. And we're going to do just one more, which is Abijah, who comes next. So, yeah, do you want to come and do that? No, not you, Jaden. No, not you, Jaden, sorry. No, sorry. Do you want to come do that?
Yeah.
Sorry, Jaden, but you've done stuff. Up on the throne, you're the last one, King Abijah. And he might seem like a good king, although, to be fair, if you read in the Bible, he wasn't a very good king. But you might have hoped maybe he'd get better and something would improve. But actually, do you know what happens to Abijah? He dies, yeah. So do you want to just fall asleep? That would be cool. That's what happens. Now, I wonder what happens to God's promise. Do you want to go and sit back down? That was really helpful, all of you. There were other kings too. Lots of other kings. There's Asa and Jehoshaphat. There was Hezekiah. And lots of others as well, Ahaz and other people who were kings. But none of them were fulfilling this promise. Partly because they weren't very good, but especially because they didn't rule forever. They didn't reign forever. And you wonder, with all these kings sitting on the throne and then dying, you wonder what's happening to God's promise. And it is a bit like, quite a lot like, waiting for Christmas. Do you know how many days until Christmas? Any adult want to do a quick calculation in their head and say, how many days until Christmas?
Yes?
No? Anyone want to say how many days? An adult might better just do it in their head quick. Do you want to say...
89.
Oh, that's a pretty good guess, but it's not right. Oh, I thought some of the like mathematical adults would go ka-chung, 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 and it would all come out. Afraid not. Yes? 78 is the right answer. How do you know that? Fantastic. Those guys are on fire. Okay, yeah, 78 is how many days until Christmas. You can't even talk about shopping days because sadly shops are open all the time. So shopping days is kind of like normal days until Christmas as well. So 78 of those to go. And it does come around. And just like Christmas will come, if Jesus doesn't come back beforehand, and some of you might hope that he does, but if Jesus doesn't return, Christmas will come. But even more certain than Christmas coming on December the 25th, God kept his promise to send a king. He sent him at a time that we remember. At Christmas, Jesus came and he was the king who would reign forever. The promise to Abraham was fulfilled by Jesus. The promise of a king to David was fulfilled by Jesus. And he wasn't just any old king. He was a good and perfect king. He wasn't a king who sent other people into battle but stayed at home. He was a king who went into battle himself. And there are other parts of the Bible that explain that the way Jesus would be a king was that he would start by being a servant. He came and humbled himself and became human, became limited, and eventually was crucified by people who were jealous of him. And all of that is promised in the Old Testament. A lot of it is promised in the book of Isaiah. You can read in Isaiah 53 and other places. It was promised that he would be a king who would save by dying, because in his death he would pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. You see, those people were sad on the mat because in the end they couldn't fulfill the promise because they had bad hearts. But Jesus would die for our bad hearts and give us instead good hearts. He would be a fabulous king because he would fight our battle for us, the battle with sin and the battle with death. And he would give us new life, so we never die if we have our trust in Jesus. We have eternal life and we'll live with him forever. And the Old Testament gets us ready for that, gets us excited about that. And so we're looking, how's God going to bless Abraham and the nations? It's not through Israel. How's God going to send a perfect king? It's not David or any of his the people who are ruling over Israel. It's a descendant that's going to come a bit later. And it's going to be Jesus, just like what you said. It's going to be Jesus. God always keeps his promises. And there's two points for us to think about really this morning. Two things as we close. The first is, it's an obvious one. Do you trust God's promises? Do you trust God? When God says something to you, he's more reliable than me. I can't be trusted, can I? He's more reliable than your parents. He's more reliable than politicians. He's more reliable than the news. He's more reliable than the internet. He's more reliable than Wikipedia. He always keeps his promises. Will you trust his promise to bless you through Abraham's descendants, will you trust his promise to send a king? And will you trust the one who fulfills his promise, Jesus Christ? That's the first thing. Ask yourself, children, older person, are you trusting his promises? He's the promise keeper. Trust him. Second thing is this. For all of us, this is a fabulous story. This is a fantastic story. I was at a seminar this week about telling the Bible story through our stories as well. And you forget sometimes, because perhaps you're familiar with this, you think, oh, I know Abraham, I know David. You know, he's picked the obvious ones this morning. And you think, if you didn't know about this, you would be absolutely bowled over by these promises. Here's God working way before. Here he's talking to David 1,000 years before Jesus comes along, and he's got his plans. It is a fabulous story. And sometimes we lose that sense of wonder at the story that's working its way through the Old Testament and leading up to Jesus. And when we're talking with our friends, perhaps who are not Christians, we think we just need to talk about facts. You know, I believe this, I believe this, I believe this. And sometimes we just need to tell the story. It's a fabulous story. It's a wonderful story. It's a true story. It's a piece of history of God intervening. It's God's revelation. And we Christians this morning, brothers and sisters, need to tell the story and see how it connects with our story. It connects with our story because I want to be blessed. I want a place to be. I want to be friends with God. I want to have the promise of Abraham, but I can have it. And I want someone who will rule over me, who will be good and just and fair and consistent. And Jesus is the one. So it connects with my story. My story of my little life, lived in my family, in my home, in my work. My story connects with his story. And I, in God's amazing goodness, become part of the story because I'm standing on the blue mat with God's people. And that's all about God's grace. And we need to enthusiastically tell the story to our friends and family. Will you do that this week?